The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Donald Trump revisits the scene of the crime while the Department of Justice is seeking January the 6th justice, quote, without fear or favour. Meanwhile, Joe Biden reaches out to China amid low approval ratings and uncertainty, I suppose, among Democrats whether or not he's going to run in 2024. There's a lot going on stateside at the moment in spite of the summer hitting. And to bring us up to speed on all things stateside, we're joined by the managing editor of WSHU Public Radio, Terry Sheridan. Terry, good morning.
Good morning there, Pat.
Now, first of all, Donald Trump goes to DC and then he calls on people to respect the police. You know, having inspired a riot that left many police hurt, injured, and a couple actually lost their lives.
Absolutely. He was speaking at the America First Policy Institute. It was founded by former members of his cabinet and his administration supporters. It's been called the quote-unquote shadow government of the United States. So, yes, it was basically a campaign speech. Trump aired grievances about the election, about the fact that Joe Biden won, Joe Biden's policies. But absolutely, one of the things that stood out was he was talking about the crime wave or the perceived crime wave in the United States, especially in Democrat cities. And he said we need to support the police. But as you said, President Biden fired back immediately and was like, you can't be pro-insurrection and pro-police at the same time.
Now, meanwhile, Trump may be in more serious trouble than he had thought. We know that the Congressional Committee into January the 6th has revealed a huge amount about how much Trump knew and his allies, and that he was begged to do something about the ongoing insurrection and sat there watching television in the dining room adjacent to the Oval Office and sat on his hands, did nothing. That's one thing, and that was very educational for those who weren't watching Fox because they got nothing on Fox TV about it. But meantime, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, is getting very serious with the Department of Justice investigation.
Right. Merrick Garland has been under a lot of pressure, especially from Democrats, to do something, because there is an impression that he is being very cautious, almost too cautious, because he doesn't want to be perceived as getting involved in either the 2022 midterms or the 2024 presidential election. But yes, in an interview earlier this week, he said that he has not ruled out prosecuting the former president. We do know that his investigation, or the investigation by the Department of Justice, there is a grand jury in session. They have spoken to at least several high-ranking aides to former Vice President Pence, and they're asking questions about what President Trump's role was in either the actual insurrection on January 6th or any of the schemes to keep him in office leading up to January 6th, most notably the so-called fake elector scheme.
Yeah, and it does seem as if they knew, all of them, that he'd lost the election, and they were finding ways to fake everything. So this is kind of doing stuff knowingly with intent.
Exactly, and that is kind of what the January 6th committee is trying to prove, that this was not that he truly believed he lost. He was told repeatedly by, you might have heard the term team crazy and team sane within his administration. A lot of the people who were working on the campaign told him, you lost. There's nothing we can do. Where he was searching for advisors who told him, no, there's this problems in Michigan, there are these problems in Arizona. So the whole fake elector scheme is, well, in the Electoral College, which would take me an hour to explain, it was proposed that we put up a fake set, a false set of electors to vote, and at three options. One, to cause enough confusion that it would buy time for the president, that it would cause enough confusion that Vice President Pence at the time on January 6th would just say the election is too tainted, let's throw it to the House of Representatives, or that Pence would declare Trump the winner.
Now, we shall see how that unfolds. I mean, it would be a big deal to charge an ex-president with a crime. I don't think it's ever been done. And, you know, at the same time, if it was you or me who did the stuff that Trump is alleged to have done, we would surely face a court. But, you know, Americans, the American system is by and large different. Now, moving on to Joe Biden, his popularity on the floor, the economy obviously facing the challenges of inflation. And, you know, he's reaching out to China at a time when U.S.-China relations are really rock bottom.
Absolutely. Polls point that his approval rating is somewhere in the 30% range, which in and of itself is not all that unusual. President Trump's ratings throughout his administration was in that. Other presidents throughout the course of their administration has fallen in. The thing that is interesting, or actually two things that are interesting, one is that of Democrats or Democratic-leaning independents, 75% want the Democratic Party to pick another candidate, that they don't have the belief that President Biden could win an election. So that's the undercurrent within the Democratic Party. However, other polls show that Biden would still beat both Trump and Republican Governor Ron DeSantis if that was the race that was going to happen in 2024. So you're getting conflicting polling data there. But I think it's very important to remember that we're 2.5 years away from the presidential election. So anything could happen within those 2.5 years.
But you've got to put your hand up in the Democratic Party if you're going to try to unseat Biden from the right of the incumbent to go again. Gavin Newsom made, you know, some noises, but I'm not sure, are there others? Because there might be a case for generational shift within the Democratic Party if Trump is the runner. So you can characterize Trump as the old boy who's got a lot of tarnishes to his reputation, and then you have the clean cut hero, male or female, from the Democratic Party. But who is that person?
Well, so far no one has raised their hand. As you said, some rumblings from Gavin Newsom. You have some rumblings from, if you want to talk generational, Bernie Sanders again, you know, talking that he might do it. But no one, nobody has raised their hand yet. Now, Kamala Harris is always a possibility. Somebody to watch, he ran against Biden in the Democratic primary in 2020. He's now the Secretary of Transportation. Pete Buttigieg is making a very good impression with Democratic voters. But so far, he has been loyal to President Biden.
But is America ready for a gay president? You know, people wondered about America being ready for a black president, and it turned out America was, and elected Obama. You're just wondering, is America ready for another watershed moment?
I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, I think that Democrats and certain Republicans absolutely would welcome that. But I can see where that would be the line of attack by any of his opponents on the Republican Party side, especially if it's Ron DeSantis or someone that is one of the Trump's followers or someone who's super conservative.
Okay, now I want to move on to other things. And the July the 4th shooting, which happened after Uvalde had happened, another mass shooting in the United States, an Illinois man has been charged.
Absolutely. Now, again, these investigations take time, and in a lot of ways, you know, they're what the authorities are looking for is anything that could help. Yeah, anyone who could help the shooter, anyone who can be charged with the conspiracy. Now, in this case, the shooter's been charged with 117 felony charges. It was a grand jury that indicted the shooter, who I will not mention his name. And they range from charges of first degree murder. They ranges on charges of attempted murder, aggravated battery. And this is for all of the each of the victims that was shot. We do know that the investigation is continuing because, again, there is the question of, well, he had knives taken away from him at one point because he was considered dangerous. How did he get guns, and how did he get the guns legally?
All right. Well, so much disquiet in the United States, Terry. But thank you very much for joining us. That's Terry Sheridan, who is the managing editor of WSHU Public Radio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.